Morning. If I have a bit of a smile on my face, it was as I stood here, I was thinking, now how should I say good morning this morning, which is usually just good morning, and a voice came into my head from Fairview in Vancouver. It was our custodian there, and she would always say good morning, and I thought about doing that, but decided against it. Mostly decided against it. It is good to see you here. It is good to be together in God's house. So welcome to you, and if you are worshiping with us for the first time or new here, a special welcome, and we encourage you to stay for some tea or coffee, and if there's any food left after the first service, we're hoping there will be some, but please stay with us just down that end of the building and help us to get to know you a bit. And if you haven't done so already and are new, if you could fill out a Connect card that are in the pews, that would be great. Just indicate the information that is there and give it to me or put it on the hub desk or put it in the offering plate would be fabulous. Just a few announcements. One is to thank everyone for participating in the cleanup day yesterday. Award for the youngest participant goes to Irina Stouffer Sinclair. Irina's almost three, and she came out the back and knew that we were cleaning the place up, and she looked around coming out the back door and saw some weeds growing out between the pavement and the building, so she went over and started pulling the weeds. There are, I think, three that were tied for covered with most burrs by the end of the day. I don't know if you knew there were burrs. There were burrs on the property, but they're not now. But thank you for doing that. In terms of other announcements that we have, there is a gathering for families this evening, and the information is in the bulletin if that is you. Also, we're doing things a little differently, change, I know, to address the fact that as a church, we normally start the year without a budget. And in fact, given that St. Paul's doesn't usually have our AGM until March, we go for a couple of months without a budget, and then the finance team has to make all of the adjustments to everything that gets done to accomplish that. So a suggestion was made that we do the budget in the fall and approve the budget, and so we're going to do that. So that will be on Sunday, November 24th. We'll do a single service that day, and we'll have lunch afterwards, and so we'll do the bulk of the AGM in terms of passing the budget. We will not have final financial reports, obviously, because there'll still be a month left in the year and a couple months in terms of the financing. So we'll have a kind of a shorter gathering in the new year once the audited statements are available and we can approve those. But please plan on being here for Sunday the 24th and sticking around for lunch and the meeting. The other couple of announcements that are there I will leave with you. Let us prepare to worship God. When we gather for worship, a number of things happen. We give praise and glory to God, and God gives his grace to us. But it's the other way around. God gives his grace to us, and we give praise and glory to God. Everything that we do is always response. Everything that we can give to God is always response to what he has already given to us in Jesus. So as God has blessed us in the Lord Jesus, let us worship him. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, most loving God, we gather at your call as sisters and brothers in Christ, as people who desire to know you and to know your goodness and grace. And we bow ourselves to you now, acknowledging you as Lord of all, the creator of all that is. We bow ourselves before you now, acknowledging you as Savior in Jesus Christ, that the holy living God became human in Jesus to live and to die for us on the cross and to rise again from the dead, that we should be forgiven and saved, that we should die in Christ and rise in Christ. We bow before you and give you praise because you are present with us this morning. By your Holy Spirit, you are here because you are with us always, working to transform us as your people. So we worship you, Father, Son, and Spirit. And we seek your grace and pray that you would bless us, that we might worship you as you truly are worthy. Forgive us our sins. We confess that we do not love you, at least all of the time, with all that we are. And we do not love our neighbors as ourselves all of the time. We do not want the best for them as we want the best for ourselves. So we pray, Lord, that you would forgive us in Jesus all our sin, and that you would heal us of the damage that sin has done to our lives, and that you would make us new and whole to live for you and to follow you. Our God, we pray all of this in Jesus' name as we continue to pray together our Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us hear God's word.
Today's responsive reading is Psalm 119, verses 1 to 8. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. This is the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
don't have a children's time this morning, so we'll move right into prayer. Let's pray together. Our God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Bible. And we pray that you would open it to us, that we might see and understand and know and receive all that you would give to us. We pray, Lord, in Jesus. Amen.
Resurrection by. Hold us fast.
And thanks to the Coleman family this morning for providing so much music. We are reading this morning from the second letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 to 17. Let us hear God's word. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For my birthday, Grace gave me a Fitbit. And before you go thinking that she had ulterior motives, I asked for it. So any of you who are thinking uncharitably, I asked for it. Sundays are my easiest days for getting my steps in. You know, you're supposed to get 10,000 steps a day. I go home on Sunday mornings after two services between 7,000 and 8,000 steps already. And yet when I drum, I hit 10,000 steps in the last song this morning. So I can just laze out the rest of the day. Or not. My wife said, "You're not even listening to me, are you?" I said, "That's a weird way to start a conversation." Conversation is give and take. It is talk and listen and then talk again, but talking in the context of what has just been said, what you've just heard. Conversation is back and forth. It takes at least two to be fully engaged and listening to each other to have a meaningful conversation. Have you ever been part of a one-sided conversation? How did that go? Why was it one-sided? Who did all of the talking and why? There are numbers of reasons that one-sided conversations happen, and it can be for a few different reasons. It could be that one person wants to do all the talking and won't let the other get in a word edgewise. It could be that one talks and the other refuses to respond. Or it could be, like this guy, that one talks and the other one is just not listening. You need to know this is not about my family. I am a professional listener, and I listen pretty well. One-sided conversation is a problem. In fact, it's not real conversation at all. Because real conversation requires that back and forth speaking to each other and speaking to each other in the context of what we're hearing each other say. And that points to another problem with dysfunctional conversation, where both parties talk, but neither listens to the other. They may hear each other, but they don't listen. And it becomes two independent, one-sided conversations happening simultaneously. And generally, that's called an argument, where we shut down and stop listening just to make our point. What's your experience of talking with God Do you have real, meaningful conversations with God, or is it more one-sided? Do you sometimes feel that you are doing all of the talking and God remains silent? Is he not listening? Does he refuse to answer? Perhaps, just perhaps, you and I don't always hear God's side of the conversation because we're not really listening to him. So how do we hear? How do we listen to God? Well, this is the second in our series of messages looking at talking with God. 2 weeks ago, we looked at prayer and the call for us to be in an attitude of prayer where we understand the fact that God is with us all of the time, right there in the room, because he is. And that we can carry on a conversation that could run throughout the day, throughout the night, because the Lord is with us. In prayer, we do most of the talking. Certainly, God can talk to us. He can speak to our spirit when we are in prayer. But in prayer, we are doing most of the talking. So how do we have real conversations with God if we're doing all the talking? How do we hear what God has to say to us? God speaks to us primarily through the Bible. That's why it's called God's Word. So clearly, if we want to hear God speaking to us, then we need to spend time reading and digging into the Bible. We read from 2 Timothy. This is the second letter from the established, experienced pastor Paul to the younger, inexperienced pastor Timothy. In the letter, Paul encouraged the younger man to hold firm to the good news about Jesus, to persevere in his service, and to acknowledge that persecution was going to happen, and he would need to persevere through that persecution as well. In fact, Paul wrote that everyone who trusts and follows Jesus is going to be persecuted. Paul also warned Timothy about false teachers within the church, those who were full of themselves and loved money and power and position and would say whatever they needed to say to the people to maintain their money and power and position. Paul wrote, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them." And after describing the false teachers, Paul wrote, "But you..." And then reminded Timothy about Paul's own enduring of persecutions and suffering. And then in verse 14, we have another, "But you. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it." In the face of false teachers, Paul called Timothy to continue in what he had learned and to hold to the truths that he had become convinced of because he knew and trusted the people that had taught him, his Christian mother and his grandmother and Paul himself. And then Paul comes to a centerpiece in this letter. "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Timothy's foundation was not just to be the teaching that he had received from his mom and grandmother and from Paul, but it was to be the Holy Scriptures themselves. Now, what Paul wrote about when he talked about the Holy Scriptures is what we know today as the Old Testament. And they were able to make Timothy, able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. This is not saying that the Old Testament provides all of the information you need to be saved. It is not saying that you just have to be really wise to be saved. It is saying that the Old Testament presents us with God's wisdom that points to and reveals God's grace in Jesus and faith in him. The Old Testament is a collection of 39 books that the community of God's people recognized as God's word. There were other writings about God. There were other writings about God's people through that great span of time. But it is those 39 books that the people of God found as foundational, found as God speaking. They heard God speaking through those books consistently. Likewise, the New Testament. It is the collection of writings that the church recognizes and understands as being God's word to the church. There were other writings, there were other letters that were written in the first and second century that the church did not recognize as being God's word, did not hear God speaking through them in the same way as through those 27 books. And so we recognize those as God's word, God speaking to us through them continuously. Well, Paul wrote that all scripture is God-breathed. All of the Bible is inspired by God. Paul expressed it poetically and theologically. God-breathed, it's wonderful poetry, but there's also profound theology in there. The New Testament word for breath has the same root as the word for spirit. Just like in the Old Testament, the word for breath or wind is the same as the word for spirit. Humans wrote all of the books of the Bible, but the Holy Spirit was involved and active in the writing of those words so that those human words contain God's word. The Bible is inspired by God. And so in it, we hear God speaking to us. And because of that, the Bible is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that followers of Jesus are equipped to follow him and to serve others. All of this is vital in our understanding of talking with God. In prayer, we do most of the talking, so we must take time to listen to God, and that is done primarily through the Bible. Yes, God can speak to us in other ways. God can speak to us in any way he chooses to. He can speak to us through other people or circumstances or music or our spirit directly or through communion. However God speaks to us, he does it always through Jesus, who is the living word of God. In John's gospel, John calls Jesus the living word. In Jesus, the Bible is the primary way in which God speaks to us. And in that is great consistency. Yes, there are different ways of interpreting the Bible, but the Bible remains consistent, just as God's nature remains unchanging. God embodies integrity because of his unchanging nature. And so the Bible also has that same integrity where we can trust God. The Bible. We can trust God's word to us because it comes from the integrity that is God. Paul wrote of the usefulness of the Bible. The Bible is useful for teaching. It teaches us the difference between right and wrong. It teaches us God's truth. It rebukes us. It does some difficult stuff for us. It rebukes us when we are messed up. It rebukes us when we have sinned. It corrects us when emotion carries us away from truth, when our imagination gets in the way of truth. And it trains us in righteousness, how to live morally, to live a God-honoring life, how to follow Jesus. What does that life look like? We find in the Bible. So that the follower of Jesus is equipped to trust and to follow and to serve. See, in the end, if God speaks through the Bible, and if we want to have a meaningful conversation with God, then the basic truth is that we must spend time in God's Word. We must read the Bible, but more than that, we must study the Bible. And if we're not digging into our Bibles, then our conversation will be mostly one-sided, with us doing most of the talking. And there is blessing in talking with God, but there's blessing in talking with God. So read and memorize those verses that encourage you and build you up and give you confidence in the Lord, so that when life happens, because life always happens, then you will have those there for you. You will have God's words, God's wisdom given to you in those times. But don't stop just there. Too many stop just there. Also read and memorize those verses that correct you when you wander, those verses that challenge you when you are too comfortable, those verses that confront you when you have decided that you've grown enough in Christ. We can and should study the Bible on our own, and we can and should study the Bible with others. Studying with others is a great corrector when we've gone in a direction of interpretation that's not helpful. And always, 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 please, please, always read the Bible in context. Read the verse in the context of the passage in the context of the larger section, in the context of the book, in the context of the whole of the Bible. That may sound like I am saying anytime you read a verse, you have to read the entire Bible. Not quite. But the more we read the Bible, the more we get to know it. We get to know the context. We get to know the genres. We get to know what's going on. And the deeper we can dig into it, and the greater is our understanding of what God is saying to us. A verse taken out of context can mean something very different from the same verse in its context. If we look hard enough, we could find a verse that would support what we want for just about anything. If you take something out of context and give it enough of a twist, we could make the Bible say anything we want it to say. That's not God speaking to us. That's us taking God's words and twisting them. Have you ever had someone do that? Somebody take something that you have said, take it out of context, maybe remove a few words from what you have said, and say it to someone else, and it's like really completely different from what you had said? It's not cool. Why would God find that good? We cannot take God's words and twist them. We must dig into the context. To give you an example, Matthew 7, verse 1, do not judge or you too will be judged. This is bandied about a lot these days. In our world, which is a do anything you want kind of world, we hear people say, you can't judge me. Jesus said you can't judge me. I can do whatever because you can't judge me. And it's pretty clear. It looks really clear. Do not judge or you too will be judged. But in context, it's got a different feel to it altogether. In the passage, Jesus is talking about us not being hypocrites. He said, before you go saying someone else is a sinner, look at yourself, deal with your own self, turn away from your own sin, and only then are you in a position to be able to go and help someone else with their sin. It's a very different feel, isn't it? It's a very different message. And the word judge in this is a judge to condemn. So do not condemn or you will be condemned. This has nothing to do with us discerning what is right and wrong. We are to discern what is right and wrong. Taking verses out of context can warp what God actually says in the Bible, and that's inherently dangerous, and it is totally dishonoring to God. But when we read the Bible with the guidance of the Holy Spirit and understand the context, we hear God speaking to us. And it is truly amazing how God can answer fairly specific questions that have to do with our own lives through the general truth that we find in the Bible. It's really quite amazing when we take the time, when we spend the time, when we dig into God's Word and truly listen to Him speaking to us. So let's talk with God. Let's pray and express our hearts to the Lord, but let us also take the time to listen to what He has to say to us. And may we never be satisfied with a one-sided conversation with God. Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord, for the Bible. We thank you that it is inspired, that it is God-breathed. We thank you for your word to us and for us. We thank you that you speak to us and answer us. We thank you for the gift of the Bible. And we recognize and understand that it can be hard to understand at times. So we pray that you would give us understanding, that you would bless us with wisdom to listen, to take the time to read and to study and grow in our understanding, to dig into the Bible to hear you. Lord, we pray that you would help us hear you. Our God, we pray for this world. We pray for your truth and your justice and your righteousness in this world. We pray that your will would be done. We pray for Canada, Lord, in that we are hearing stories with frequency these days about teens and even children being killed. We pray for our country. We pray for those neighborhoods in which life holds so little value compared to what people want. And we pray for Ottawa, Lord. We pray for our city. And particularly this morning, Lord, we pray for our new police chief, for Peter Slowly. We pray that you would give him great wisdom in leading the police services in Ottawa. And we pray that you would work in and through him. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless us as a people, as your church, that we would be a beacon in this neighborhood and in the West End that would shine your love and grace, and that you would make us a people who live and speak and share the good news about Jesus that you have given to us. Our God, all these prayers we offer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us give glory to God. Let us continue to worship him as we give him our offering that is used for ministry at St. Paul's and in this community and throughout this world. Let us give to God. By year, and the grace you give us in Jesus. Receive these gifts as an expression of our gratitude for all these things. Bless them and use them, that your name would be glorified, and that the work of your kingdom would be done here in this city and around this world. We pray in Jesus. Amen. You can sit. the Lord does speak to us, mostly through the Bible, but in a variety of ways. And one of those ways that he speaks to us is through the sacrament of Holy Communion. The reformer John Calvin said that the word should be enough for us, but that God knows that we are people of the dust. We are people of the earth. So he gives us something to help us understand and receive where words can't go. And he gives us the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. If you trust in Jesus, if you strive to follow him, you are welcome to receive and grow in him. Whether your faith is strong and you're feeling on top of the world, or whether you're just kind of hanging on by your fingertips, the sacrament is for you. Let us prepare to come to the Lord's table. Let us remain standing and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let us confess. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after they had eaten, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." Let us pray together. Our loving God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that when we were least able to save ourselves, you came to us in him to save us, to redeem us, to make us your own. And we thank you for that grace, that incredible grace in which we become the children of God through the sacrifice on the cross and the resurrection from the dead. We thank you that you forgive us in Jesus. We thank you that you make us whole in Jesus. We thank you that you give us meaning and purpose in Jesus. And we thank you for this sacrament by which we are not only reminded of all that Jesus has done for us, but somehow by your grace we enter into that and it becomes a part of us. And we thank you for that, Lord. Bless to us these common elements, this bread and this cup, that they may be to us the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, that in them we should know you. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. As Jesus did, we take bread, we give thanks, and we remember him. the body of Christ. The cup of salvation, the new covenant in Christ's blood. The blood of Christ. Let us pray. Our Lord, we thank you for the grace that you give us in Jesus, the grace that you give us even in this sacrament. Even as you have blessed us, make us a blessing to one another. Even as you have given to us, bless us to give to one another. And may all who meet us this day, may all those with whom we interact this day see something of you in us and be led to give you glory. We pray in Jesus. Amen. Sisters and brothers, go from here carrying on conversation with God. Speak to him, please, but take time to listen as well. And may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon you now and always. Amen.